Hello and welcome to Baylor Connections, a conversation series with the people shaping our future. Each week we go in-depth with Baylor leaders, professors, and more, discussing important topics in higher education, research, and student life. I'm Derek Smith, and our guest today is Baylor University President Dr. Linda Livingstone. We visit with President Livingstone each month on the program, and we've been talking about the four foundational pillars of Illuminate, Baylor's academic strategic plan: an unambiguously Christian educational environment, transformational undergraduate education, research marked by quality, impact, and visibility, and nationally recognized programs in human performance through arts and athletics. And today we focus on that last pillar, nationally recognized programs in human performance through arts and athletics. President Livingstone, thanks for joining us on the program, and happy holidays to you. It's always a pleasure to have you on the program.
Glad to be here, Derek. I appreciate it, and I appreciate the opportunity to visit about the exciting things we're doing at Baylor.
Well, let's start off kind of with a fun question. You know, athletics has certainly played a large role in your life and the life of your family, and you know, you're an avid supporter of all Baylor athletics programs and the arts as well, which we're going to talk about. But I know you're a fan of all Baylor athletic teams, but is there something special for you and for the first year, Brad, when you kind of heading into this time of year? Conference basketball is starting up. That road to March Madness is really starting to get underway.
Well, as having both been former college basketball players, we do love basketball season. It's exciting. And because we were a part of what was the Big 8 that's now the Big 12, it sort of feels like coming home to us when basketball season gets started. So we're really excited about the opportunities for both of our teams this year. And both of them have a lot of new players, so there'll probably be a few growing pains in there. But love what Coach Mulkey and Coach Drew are doing and appreciate the way they represent the university.
It's always fun to watch a team come together, whether it be football, basketball, or any of other of our number of great sports. In the president's office, how often do you find yourself or relying on traits you developed or skills you learned from your basketball playing days?
I don't know that I consciously think a lot about it on a daily basis, but I absolutely know that the things I learned as a student athlete, whether it's about, you know, how to work in a team, how to lead in an environment where you're not necessarily the appointed leader, or whether it's about sort of resilience through difficult times, have all been very important to me as I've sort of developed my leadership skills over the years. And so I can't say enough about the value I got out of my intercollegiate athletic experiences when I was at Oklahoma State.
Well, certainly sports play a big role in that pillar that we're talking about, excellence in human performance. We're going to talk about that more later in the program, but it goes far beyond that into the arts, music, drama, film, and more. What is the fact that this area was included as a pillar, as one of the four foundational pillars, communicate about the importance Baylor sees in this area?
Well, we put it in there intentionally because we view these areas, those areas of the arts broadly defined in athletics, as a wonderful way for people to connect with our institution who might not normally connect with Baylor, whether it's in the Waco community or across Texas or around the country. Our athletic and arts programs allow people to be exposed to Baylor and the unbelievably talented students that we have in ways that they wouldn't otherwise. And we often talk about them as kind of the front porch or the front door into the university. And it can draw people to us in a way on a national scale that we wouldn't otherwise. And then our students in these areas are just so talented. Our faculty and staff and coaches are doing such good work with our students that we're unbelievably proud of what they're doing as well, and want that to be an important part of what we highlight as we go forward.
You know, as we talk to some of the arts faculty, we've had Deanna Toten Beard on the program from theater arts. We've had arts and music as well. What's been the response from some of those disciplines just to being such a large part of Illuminate, this strategic vision?
Well, I think they've appreciated the way that they've been included in this. And I think how we've talked about the arts has evolved through this process in a way to really ensure that it's embedded kind of throughout what we're doing through multiple of kind of the academic themes. But it's such an important part of our campus. It's so important to the broader community. And we want people to recognize how much we value the arts on this campus and the way it can contribute very broadly, not just to campus life, but to life more broadly across society.
We talk a lot about at Baylor and at Illuminate about solving societal problems. What are some of the ways the arts can do that?
Well, I think it happens in multiple ways, and I personally am not an arts person in terms of talent or anything. I greatly appreciate it and value deeply the wonderful talent that our artists across different areas have. But in terms of thinking about societal problems, which is one of the ways we're framing Illuminate very significantly, I think it can do – I'll talk about a couple of things. I'm sure there are many more. But one, when you bring people together, whether it's around art or theater or music – it helps build community. And I do think that one of the things we see in society today is needing to bring people together from different backgrounds and experiences, give them common experiences that they can share around and talk about that can help break down barriers. So I think art helps build community in really important ways that we need right now. I think the other thing that happens in art, through artists in many ways help us understand some of these societal problems in different ways, whether it's the way a play is designed to address a significant societal issue, whether it's a painting that somebody uses to depict something that's happened in society. It also, in a more deep way, beyond just building community, frames some of these societal issues in different ways that we might not normally think about by just what we read in the paper every day or the conversations we have with people. And I think that's really important as well for us to put a different lens on how we look at some of these problems, to see them visually or to hear them spoken or to hear music that reflects some of the different perspectives on these issues. Can help us have a much broader way of thinking about issues and maybe then come up with more creative solutions to some of these problems. So there are really deep and significant ways that the arts can impact how we approach societal problems.
Is it a little bit almost the power of story? You've got mm-hmm. whether it's theater or film, we have so much competing for our attention and maybe the ability of a story well told or well presented to break through?
Absolutely. And I can think of many times I've been at concerts here or plays or seen some of the artwork. And it's deeply moving to hear the music or to see the story told on the stage. And it does touch your heart and your soul in different ways than reading it on the newspaper or seeing it on a computer. And I think that's really important. I think art touches your heart and soul in different ways than other mediums do. And particularly given some of the issues that we're facing in the country and around the world, we need to think of them on those very deep heart and soul levels.
Visiting with President Livingstone, and you talked about just being amazed at the talent of our students and our staff. What are some of the ways that you've seen them contribute to this campus community? Maybe some of the ways you've enjoyed most personally.
Yeah, we have such talented students, and we have very formal ways that we get to enjoy the talent of the students, whether it's a concert our music school is putting on, or a theater production, or an art exhibit, or an athletic program that we go see, and we certainly try to get around to those. But there are also a lot of more informal ways. Just a few weeks ago, we had our Thanksgiving dinner celebration on campus, kind of the university Thanksgiving, and we had student performances there that were in a much more informal setting than you would see, but yet they're exhibiting the diversity of talent on our campus, and there's a tremendous appreciation in those kinds of settings for what our students bring to the table. So they do help bring us together and help us really experience the joy of the talent that our students have and how we can exhibit that in many different settings, whether it's formal or informal settings.
I think you've touched on this a little bit, but I'll ask you more directly. What are some of the ways that maybe an appreciation or understanding of the arts can benefit students in other disciplines as well, whether it's a business student or a social work student, mm-hmm. just having that kind of, when you talk about that liberal arts education, being able to influence those?
Well, I think it's really critically important that our students have a broad understanding of the arts, and whether that happens, sometimes that happens through literature, through art, through theater, through music, because it gives them a broader perspective on the world. And it also helps them understand people from different backgrounds and experiences. And the more we can prepare our students to go out into the world in a way where they don't just see it through the lens that they grew up with or the lens in which they're sort of focusing their education on, but they have broadened that lens because they've been exposed to some of these areas in the arts, I think it makes them better citizens. It helps them see the world in bigger and different ways and makes them more open to different perspectives. College campuses are one of the few places where people can be exposed so broadly and deeply to such a diverse perspective on the arts. And I try to remind our students when they're here to take advantage of that.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that students can go to for free that when they graduate, they're going to pay a lot of money to go participate in a concert or a play.
With very talented people yes. performing for them that, again, you aren't always going to see in every other setting.
And that goes for the community as well. A lot of people from the community are able to benefit from and enjoy these programs. Some who don't have, like you said, that front porch idea, some who don't have a lot of affiliation with Baylor, but they've come to appreciate what goes on here.
Yeah, and the Waco community is unbelievably supportive of what we're doing with our theater and arts and music programs. And we greatly appreciate that connection with the community and the way we can add value more broadly, even outside of our campus community.
What are some things that, and again, I think you've touched on this a little bit, when people come to a Baylor play or concert, what are some of the things you want them to take away, or that when you've talked to other faculty members that they see as being distinctive about being here at Baylor?
You know, I think when they come to our events, what I want them to recognize is, you know, one, how talented our students are and how seriously they take what they're doing. But I also think one of the things that you don't always realize is just the hours and hours and hours of work and effort it takes on the parts of our students to perform at that level. I think as an athlete, that's one of the reasons I appreciate the arts so much. I know how much hard work and effort it takes to be an athlete that performs at the highest level. And that same level of commitment and hard work goes into being a great musician or a great artist or a great actor. And so I want people to really appreciate the commitment that our students are making to perform at this really high level. And then, frankly, we want them to be entertained. Mm-hmm. And we want them to enjoy the experience and to feel like they've kind of been blessed by being there, by seeing our students perform.
This is Baylor Connections. We're visiting with Baylor University President Linda Livingstone, talking about excellence in human performance through the arts and athletics. How is Illuminate and, by extension, Give Light, how are those areas going to impact schools like theater, music, and others?
Well, certainly as part of Illuminate and then Give Light, one of the academic theme areas in Illuminate is human flourishing, leadership, and ethics. And we kind of view the arts fitting very nicely into this human flourishing area. And as we've talked about how it addresses societal problems, how it brings people together. So it fits very nicely into one of the academic initiative areas within Illuminate. But then Give Light, the campaign, we are really working to support academic achievement in our students, so scholarships for students, chaired faculty positions, the research and work of our faculty. The research that faculty do in the arts looks different than the research people do in the sciences or in business or in the liberal arts, but it's still really important to the direction that we're going. So people who really want to support the arts and music and theater on our campus, there's absolutely a pathway for doing that through the Give Light campaign that will help support the initiatives in Illuminate.
Baylor's acting provost for administration is Dr. Gary Mortensen, dean of the School of Music. And we had him on the program earlier this year, very much earlier this year, and he talked about the fact that no one loses a concert. Everyone's a winner. Everyone goes home happy after a concert. There's not, you know, unfortunately, there are occasions where after a Baylor game, we go home disappointed. The green and gold don't always win, but that's not the case at a concert or play. What role has he played in helping craft that vision?
Yeah, Dr. Mortensen has just been amazing, both as dean of the School of Music and as acting vice provost for administration. And I just deeply appreciate Gary. He has such a wonderful perspective on the role of the arts in the university more broadly. He probably articulates as well as anyone what we're trying to accomplish in Illuminate and why that matters for the university and then how the arts fit into that. And so as he's been in the provost office, I think he's really helped us deepen our thinking about that in the context of Illuminate, and it's just made the plan even better and richer over time. And he's done such great things in our music school as well. So we're blessed to have him here at Baylor, and he's been just such an important part of what we're trying to accomplish here.
There are a lot of really important areas that we've discussed here in the last few minutes, that the ways the arts contribute to the campus community and more broadly. But one area I want to ask you, you know, I know you maintain a very busy schedule. Our Baylor students maintain a very busy schedule. What about that idea of almost rest in a way? Is there something when you visit a concert, no matter how busy it is, it almost gives you some moments of rest to lower the pulse rate a little bit? Is that something you've experienced in your own life and seen the benefits of?
You know, it's actually really an interesting point to make. I do think that that definitely happens. It is a place where you can sit and recenter yourself and take the focus off of all the other things that are going on and just focus on the music or the performance. And it does, it is kind of a respite from the issues of the day and to help you kind of refocus on the things that matter. So there is something very special about being at a concert or that kind of a performance that allows you to do that.
Yeah, we live in a very noisy world. It's nice to have, like you said, a ways to get away from that just a little bit. This is Baylor Connections. We're visiting with Baylor University President Dr. Linda Livingstone. We've talked about the arts. Let's shift focus now a little bit to that area of athletics. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and certainly we've seen the success of our athletic programs, the growth, whether it be in facilities or programs. What are some of the ways that athletics play into this pillar, and how will Illuminate impact the approaches to excellence through athletics? Mm-hmm.
Well, as I mentioned before, I mean, athletics, like the arts, is one of the ways people see our university on a national and, frankly, on an international scale in ways that nothing else we do does. And so it's really important for us that our athletic programs are performing at the highest level and doing it in ways that are consistent with and support and advance our mission as an institution. And one of the things I've just been really pleased to see under the leadership of Mac Rhodes and our athletics department is their initiative on Champions for Life, which is really looking at how we holistically prepare our student athletes for life, not just to help them be successful athletically, but spiritual development, kind of civic engagement, academic achievement, and so on. And that there's everything about that initiative ties directly into what we're trying to accomplish with all of our students and really helping us advance our mission to prepare students for leadership and service around the world. So I can't say enough about the good work that's being done in the athletic department and the way it supports the direction we're trying to go as an institution.
You know, there's a couple different ways to look at it. Certainly services to student athletes and facilities, which I'll ask you about in a moment. When you think back, you know, to your days as a student athlete at Oklahoma State and to the resources available to student athletes now, what are some of the areas that are really important focuses that maybe have come to light more in the last few years, just in terms of supporting student athletes and thinking about that further development?
Yeah. Well, I will say that the support student athletes get now is dramatically advanced from when I was a student athlete, and it's been wonderful to see. I think universities have always recognized the need for academic support because of the demands on student athletes in terms of time. What I think we've seen over time and in recent years is even greater emphasis on kind of their physical well-being and ensuring that we have the right type of support for training facilities and doctors and others to help them because there's a lot of stress on their bodies. We've seen a lot of emphasis put on nutrition and trying to help ensure our student athletes are eating properly and getting the nutrition support they need. And I think we've also seen a growth in mental health services. We see it all across our campuses, whether it's with any student population, but student athletes experience a lot of stress and a lot of pressure as well. So I think we've seen a growth in mental health services for student athletes. So then career services support for student athletes. Again, we're trying to do all of these things for all of our students, but there are some unique demands on the times and how student athletes use their time on our campus. So I think what we do now is take a much more holistic view of our student athletes and the kind of support they need, just as we are doing with our student population more broadly. And it's helped them to be healthier, safer, and better supported, I think, as they're representing the university on really a national and international scale.
We've had Marcus Sedbury on the program from Baylor Athletics before Student Athlete Success, and he was talking about touching on some of those areas, classes they're doing, whether it be in healthy relationships or nutrition, certainly service projects and opportunities, helping them find what their career path might look like once they're done with athletics. Is it fun to think from maybe more of a proactive standpoint? I think sometimes when you watch the news, you get a sense that so much of what happens in college athletics is reacting to an issue. But is it fun to be very proactive when you talk about building Champions for Life in that way?
Oh, absolutely. And I really think that's what we're trying to do in our athletics program now is be as proactive as we can to prepare student athletes for the issues they're going to face in life while they're in college, but also to help them build skill sets and resilience that will help them to be successful after they leave. The vast majority of them will not be professional athletes when they leave. Some will, but not all of them will. And we need to make sure that we're preparing them for whatever pathway they go down after they graduate. And I think our Champions for Life program is really designed to do that. And we're continually looking for ways we can develop and add to that in ways that address the needs that student athletes have that in some ways are a little bit unique compared to some of our other student populations.
Certainly those are very, very important, but another area that gets people's attention, President Livingstone, is facilities. And
right.
the night that Give Light was launched, I was working at the basketball game, and now granted the people who sit right behind the scores table are people who tend to be more plugged into the university as a whole. But I heard a little buzz go through the crowd late in the game, and I started hearing people say, Fieldhouse. Tell us a little bit about, these facilities that are a part of that Athletica long-term plan, being a Fieldhouse for basketball, practice facility for volleyball and acrobatics and tumbling and football as well.
Well, we're really excited about the capital component of the campaign. It includes some academic facilities, a welcome and alumni center, but then also an athletics component. And the really great thing about the athletics component is it's comprehensive, and every single sport on our campus will be touched and helped and improved by what we're doing with facilities. So in that plan is a new field house for basketball. And then the Farrell Center would be, there would be some rework done on the Farrell Center to make it really the home of acrobatics and tumbling and volleyball. And they have been a little bit orphaned for a number of years, and it would give them their own space as well as create a really wonderful venue, probably more fan-friendly than the Farrell Center is for our basketball teams. So we think those are fabulous. Then we would add a football operations center, which is kind of connected to our practice facility, the practice football field, indoor and outdoor. But then what that does, it not only improves the quality of what we're doing for our football team, but then it takes a lot of space that's in kind of the Simpson Hires complex, where football offices are, where the weight facility is, that really supports most of our athletic programs other than kind of basketball, the ones that are in the Farrell Center now. And it frees a ton of space up. So we'll move all of the football activities out, and then we'll have a lot more space in that area to have better support for our other sports, whether it's volleyball, acrobatics and tumbling, equestrian, softball, baseball, golf, you know, you can go on and on. They'll have better space for weightlifting, for nutrition counseling, for other types of services that right now they're all crammed in there together with the football program. And the football program is so large that it really can almost overwhelm that space. So we love this plan because it gives a greater access and support to services and facilities to all of our student athletes and will help all of our teams to be better.
Is that kind of the hidden area from a fan standpoint? You know, you get excited about seeing a new arena and what it's going to be like as a fan and what it's going to look like on TV. But day to day, it's those other areas freeing up the space that really impacts the quality of the experience for our student athletes.
Well, it does, because then they have better training facilities, they have a better weightlifting facilities, they have better academic support facilities, and all of that helps to make the experience for the student athlete better. It helps ensure that they're healthy, that they're taken care of in appropriate ways, and then ultimately should help them to perform better when they're in the field house or on the field or wherever they happen to play.
And I know probably a lot of people are asking you this as we close here. You know, there's not specific dates set in stone or anything when we talk about this. This is all moving forward together as Baylor family, and as the money raises, then we'll start hearing more in the days ahead.
That's correct. So we're right now in the early phases of talking to key donors that might be willing to make lead gifts for any of these athletic facilities. And we will, once we know more about how those gifts might come in, we'll have much better sense of the timing on when we could break ground for facilities. It will all be tied very directly to our fundraising efforts around the facilities and then our ability based on that fundraising to launch those. We certainly hope it happens sooner rather than later.
It'll be fun for everyone working together to make those visions a reality. Well, President Livingstone, it's been fun talking about arts and athletics with you today. Thank you very much for your time, and happy holidays to you.
Thank you so much. Happy to be with you.
Baylor University President Dr. Linda Livingstone, our guest today on Baylor Connections. I'm Derek Smith. A reminder, you can hear this and other programs online, baylor.edu/connections, or you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Thanks for joining us on Baylor Connections.